come and join in the center aisle as we witness this baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As you witness this baptism, I invite you to take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the Father by again renouncing the devil and confessing faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Evie Kate according to your boundless mercy, and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I now address the sponsor. Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Jacqueline, as a sponsor, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as a witness of Evie's baptism. You are to pray for her every day, support her in her ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage her toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be an example to her of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Jacqueline, is it your intention to serve Evie Kate as sponsor in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do.
Amen.
Amen. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. The congregation may be seated. I now address the questions. Abby Kate, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Abby Kate, do you desire to be baptized? Abby Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Abby Kate the new birth and holy baptism, and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that she has now become your child. You would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We continue with the spoken control. We will bless the Lord
from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
As for me, I have set my king
on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him in all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us,
and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Martyrtide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increase.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not
purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 11th and 12th chapters. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, the gospel reading, I'll reread a couple of verses. Jesus said to the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is our text. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? That may sound like a very basic question, may sound like a strange question to ask here inside of a Christian church. Shouldn't we be asking that question of our friends and family members, of our non-believing neighbors who don't attend church? And the answer is yes, of course. Do ask your family and your friends and your neighbors, who is Jesus? And when was the last time you asked one of them? And what answer did you receive? But the thing is that this question is not only for others, this question is for you. Who is Jesus? And how do you answer? And how do you live that out? You see, Jesus asks two questions this morning. Both of them are about himself. He says first, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And, "Who do you say that I am?" And when Jesus asks these questions, he's not asking a theoretical question, an abstract question. This isn't like an exam question where if you get the answer wrong, it may lower your score, but it otherwise doesn't really matter. How you answer this question makes all the difference in the world, the difference between life and death. To drive home this point, you ought to know where it is that Jesus asks this question. He's not simply sitting around a campfire making small talk with the disciples while eating fish and bread. He's not asking them because it suddenly popped into his head while they were walking along a dusty trail in the north. No, it's intentional where and when he asks them. They're near the town of Caesarea Philippi in the north of Israel, near the base of Mount Hermon. It's a significant place. Perhaps they are looking at the very place where the Canaanites worshiped their god Baal centuries and centuries before. Maybe they're standing in front of the site where the Greeks built a temple for their god Pan. Maybe they're staring at the beautiful white marble structure that Herod the Great constructed as a temple for Caesar Augustus. In other words, in the very place where Caesar is confessed as God and Lord, in the very place where pagan blindness and religious confusion was rampant, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Who do people say that I am?" People are talking about Jesus. People are always talking about Jesus. Even in dark New England, people are talking about Jesus. So what are they saying? Well, disciples have an answer. Some say that you're John the Baptist, back from the dead. Some think that you're Elijah, that long-expected prophet. Others say that you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. The point is that everyone is talking about Jesus, and everyone thinks that he's some sort of significant religious figure. People are ready to say all sorts of nice things about Jesus, just like people do today. "Why, Jesus," you ask. "Yes, yes, he's a good teacher. He's an amazing example. He's a tremendous religious leader. He's an inspiration. He's a friend. He's a healer. He's a this. He's a that. It's often true what they say. The problem is, it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go nearly as far as it needs to. And so Jesus turns to the disciples. Who do you say that I am? Not asking about other people, not asking about what someone else thinks, but about you. Forget what others say. He puts the question directly to them, and he puts the question today directly to you. Who do you say that I am? And notice this, he's not asking how you feel about him. Jesus isn't asking whether you like him or not. To be honest, I'm not sure that he really cares how you feel about him or whether you like him. He's asking for a statement of fact, not a feeling. And Simon Peter delivers. He speaks for all the disciples, and he speaks also for me. You, Jesus, are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Bingo. He's got it. My only wish is that Peter was so bold to make this confession at other times and other places in his life. Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He is the anointed one. He is the one whose coming was long promised, the seed and the Savior that God had spoken of throughout all the pages of the Old Testament. He is the one whose coming Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and all of the prophets were looking for. And he is the Son of the living God. Make no mistake about what an amazing confession that is. That this man standing in front of them, a human being, Peter and the other disciples, know and confess to be the very Son of God. God of God and light of light and very God of very God, as we say in the Creed. And he is exactly right. This is who Jesus is and always will be. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But how does Peter know this? Did he come to this conclusion after careful study and reasoning and by weighing all the evidence? Did Peter come to this conclusion because he was really, really smart and he could put all these pieces together? But no. Jesus says that wasn't what brought him to this confession. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. To confess Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, is a miracle. And it is the very work of God himself. Those who believe in Jesus to be the Christ believe not because of something they've done, but because of what God has done in them and given to them. Peter knew because it was revealed. It was revealed in the things the disciples had seen and heard, and we know because it has been revealed in the things these same disciples wrote down for us in the New Testament. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Which means that it's not dependent on you or I putting all the pieces together. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or an engineer to figure out that Jesus is the Christ, because this is something revealed and given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Which means there's hope for all of us as God gives us this gift. Faith confesses Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this confession is a solid, firm, and good foundation. This is one of the beautiful things we see in this text. I tell you, Jesus says, you are Peter, rock, and on this rock fortress I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter is called the rock because he has made a rock solid confession. And it is on that confession that Jesus builds his church and gathers his people. It is that confession that is the foundation of our own congregation and what we do and how we live together and why we worship the way we worship. Because we believe this about Jesus. The most important thing is not simply the person of Peter, it is the confession of Peter. In fact, as we think about Peter, we might remember that there's nothing solid about Peter himself. Next Sunday, we'll hear how he wants to tell Jesus that he doesn't need to die. And you probably remember how Peter, when confronted by a servant girl while Jesus is being put on trial, denies that he even knows his Lord. The church isn't built on a person. It isn't built on a person such as a pastor or even an apostle. It is built on this confession. To be built on a person, if the church were built on me or some televangelist or a bishop or pastor of some sort or a man, it would be built on a house of sand. It would be an idol's temple. But we know the church's one foundation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. The one whom St. Peter confessed. You can't get more rock solid than Jesus. You can't get more rock solid than Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. And Jesus says that even the gates of hell, not the power of sin or of death or of the devil, can prevail against this Jesus and the confession of his name. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that confession shakes hell's gates. That confession delivers from sin. That confession overpowers death. That confession and the Christ who stands behind it disarms the devil. Not that any of them understood it fully that day. Certainly they didn't. Peter and the other disciples didn't yet see that Jesus being the Christ meant he had to suffer and die and rise again. And yet we know that's exactly what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. He is the Christ by dying and rising. This is how he accomplishes what he came to do. This is how he establishes a church that hell itself cannot shake. By his dying for sinners and his rising from the dead. There's no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. Either Jesus is the Lord or he isn't. Either he is the Messiah of Israel or he isn't. Either he is the Son of the living God or he isn't. Either he died and rose again or he didn't. As we gather today, I'm struck by the meaning of the baptism that we witnessed earlier. By bringing Evie, Kate to holy baptism, Jenny and Brian and their family are making a confession. They're saying something. They are claiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they are declaring this Jesus to be their Lord and Lord of their daughter. Today we see the church being built on Christ, one soul at a time being built as the communion of saints. And what we believe with our hearts, we confess with our lips. We don't have to figure this out for ourselves, and we would never be able to, but to confess Jesus as the Christ is God's gift to you. A gift that you believe, but a gift also that you speak. And I encourage you to speak of Jesus to others. Confess his name. Ask them, who do you think Jesus is? And then tell them who Jesus is from the scriptures. Who knows but that God, our Father in heaven, will through you reveal to them their Savior and Lord. This has been given to you in holy baptism. By the work of the Holy Spirit, it is yours to say, Jesus is Lord. And it is yours to consider yourself blessed. Blessed by the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And this church, Jesus tells St. Peter, is a church that exercises and has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to know where the keys of the kingdom of heaven lie? I know how it is with just the keys for your house or your car. You misplace them, and you're worried, and you're frantic until you find them. But Jesus tells Peter exactly where the keys of the kingdom of heaven are placed, into the hands of the church. The keys by which whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. This is the forgiveness of sins. The confession of Jesus as the Christ flows directly into sins being forgiven in Jesus' name. The church has been given these keys, the keys that open heaven to us. We don't have to wonder whether salvation is ours. We don't have to wonder whether what Jesus accomplished is for us or not, because he tells us that it is. And he turns those keys and opens heaven to you. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Jesus was joined to you in holy baptism. You were baptized into the Christ, into his death, and into his resurrection. And Jesus places here on this altar the great and precious gift of his very body and blood. What could be more rock solid than that? For the Christ to be placed into your mouth, even as he has been given into your heart and onto your lips. Our Lord Jesus Christ this day would have this heaven be opened to you in his name and by his authority, the authority that he has, all authority in heaven and on earth. And so, dear Christian, you are built on this rock. You are built on the confession of this Christ. You are built by the forgiveness of your sins. You are built, as we sang in the hymn just a few minutes ago, into a holy temple of your God. Living stone by living stone, you live in him. And so let your mouth confess his name, and let your life confess who he is. For if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then we will not turn from anything that he says in his word. We will not stop our ears. We will not cease to listen to what he says, but we will rather seek to hear him and to live according to his word, to follow in his ways, to walk each step saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So take up this confession today and take it up tomorrow and in the days to come. When you rise in the morning, drop to your knees and say, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as you go about your work and your life at home and your life in the community, confess his name. Jesus told the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ, but he has not said the same thing to you. The disciples were to be quiet because they didn't understand. They didn't get it. They didn't see how the dots connected. They were to wait until they could confess not only that he is the Christ, but the Christ crucified and risen from the dead. But you know this Jesus. And so he invites you, encourages you to open your lips and to speak his name. Because there is nothing more sure and certain in this world than this Jesus Christ, than his death and resurrection, than the forgiveness of sins that he brings and the church that he builds. For we believe that not even the gates of hell can withstand the church of Christ. You, dear Christians, belong to this church. And in Christ and in his church, you will live forever until that day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that the one who died and rose for us is Lord of all. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
We pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church throughout the world that built on the confession of the gospel and assured that the gates of hell will not overcome it, we may have faith and courage to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church here, that we may proclaim thanksgiving to God and tell of all his wondrous deeds, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the office of the keys may be honored among us, that we may confess our sin and be absolved in Christ's name, and that we may forgive others as he has forgiven us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all husbands and wives, families and children, single adults and youth, and for all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Rachel, that they may be strengthened and upheld to live faithfully within their callings, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all students, teachers, staff, and school administrators, including for the Imago School, our local schools, and all homeschool families, that whatever is just, true, and good would flourish in them, and that our children would grow in wisdom and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For victims of violence and oppression, and for those who live with injustice and fear, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all nations and their leaders, that they may act for peace and promote godliness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For victims of disaster and those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and the infirm, for those who grieve, and especially for Keith, Isaac, Linda, Shannon, Karen, Claire, Judy, Rob, Rosemarie, Nancy, Dick, Eldon, Audrey, Joyce, Robert and Ruth, Aaron Kate, Ed, Ted, Gwen, Rick, Michelle, Amy, Stan, Luann, Amanda, Betty, and Louie, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For repentance and faith as we approach the Lord's table, that we may not think more highly of ourselves than is right, but that we would set our hearts and minds on the things of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
From you and through you and to you are all things. To you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and gives us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Glory, 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 Lord God of Israel, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Reading today is from Proverbs, second chapter, starting at the first verse. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search it like for hidden treasures, then you will understand and fear of God and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand the righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith and will bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.